Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible, and we're in chapter 10 of 2 Samuel. And in chapter 10, there are 19 verses. And we have a couple of letters to read, and also we're reading part 3 of the natural constitution, or the natural man, and contrasting it with resurrection. So right now, let's go up to the throne and ask the Lord to bless this tape, to anoint it in Jesus' name. Father, we thank and praise your holy name for the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is able to give us the mind of Christ, to be able to think like you do. Lord, it's just a tragedy that so many people are thinking the way they think, or the way that Satan plants thoughts into their mind. But your word tells us that we're to pull down these strongholds. And they are strong because some people, they get these ideas and opinions from Satan, and that they're so weak that these thoughts from Satan, these opinions from Satan, these ideas from Satan become their way of life. But Lord, you want your children to take your word and pull down all these thoughts and intentions and ideas and everything that Satan brings, every opinion, and to put it down under their feet, under actually your feet. Because you've destroyed the works of Satan, so that so few people listen to your word. They will tolerate listening to it, but then they don't let you live it out in them. And so, Lord, we ask that you open up every mind to receive not thoughts from Satan or ideas or opinions from him, but that your spirit, your word, the cross, will enter into their minds and souls and spirits and destroy all these thoughts and ideas and opinions and evil thoughts that enter into people's minds that are totally contrary from the high intelligence of your mighty word, which created heaven and earth and all the fullness thereof. Your word is spirit and it's life. You are spirit and you are life. Lord God, give us that life more and more, and let us abide by it, not just hear it, but do what it says. Be in defense of our mind, that our natural constitution, or the Adamic man that we once were, is kept under the discipline of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
Okay, now we have a couple of letters to read, and Sister Jamie will read, all right, these letters. Where's the first one from, Jamie?
Ghana.
All right. Ghana's where?
Africa.
All right, praise the Lord.
Dear Pastor, I am sending you greetings all the way in Ghana. I am very excited to tell you that I have at last accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and that he came and died on the cross after reading through your literature entitled The Messiah. Formerly, I was in the world not knowing God, neither did I know about his Son, the Messiah. But after reading through your literature, I know now that I am therefore a born-again Christian and a son of the living God. As of now, I have no Bible, and if possible, send me one and also your booklet, The Messiah. If you will also send to me any other books that can help me to know God well, I will appreciate it. I now attend a church at a Pentecostal church in Kufuor Dua. May the Lord God richly bless you for the good works you've been doing. Yours faithfully, D.F., Kufuor Dua, Ghana.
Okay, now where's the next letter from? That was very good reading.
Plummer Forest Hills, California.
California? Plummer Fork?
Forest. Hills.
Fourth?
Forest.
Forest, okay. Plummer Forest. Go ahead.
Dear Pastor Alamo, I thank you so much for the two batches of newsletters sent to me last week. when I requested some on the telephone to your Canyon Country Church on my arrival in the Los Angeles on vacation. I found the newsletters very educative and explanatory indeed. Some of these have been distributed on the streets and supermarkets, but I will take the rest home next week to Nigeria, my country. I have developed spiritually since I have been reading the messages in your newsletters, and I have learnt quite a lot about salvation, holiness, and the secrets of the Pope and his cult, Roman Catholicism, Satan. I am very much interested in knowing from the publications quoted, especially in your write-up, Another Pearl Harbor. I shall be grateful if copies could be made out and sent to me. This is because the Roman Catholic mission has deceived our people so much in Nigeria, and to effectively fight them and depopulate hell, I need these publications for the pastors and evangelists that...
I like that, depopulate hell. Amen, praise the Lord. Then what?
I need these publications for the pastors and evangelists that meet me at our Christian Literature Center, Ibidan Chapter, weekly to pray and discuss the Word. I am delighted to note that Pastor Alamo's literature and the Messiah Book are now available in most languages. We have three main languages in Nigeria, Yoruba, Igbo, and Hausa. If any of these are available, please kindly let me have a sizable quantities for distribution to our people who cannot read the English language. Please also ensure you send to me on a regular basis at least 100 copies of each newsletter for our use at our Christian Literature Center, Ibadan Chapter. We can make photocopies for circulation as necessary. Kindly confirm that all newsletters and some of the booklets, The Messiah, are sent to us in Nigeria at our address. I enclose my check for $120, being a token donation for tithes towards the good job that you are doing for the salvation of humanity worldwide. May the Lord God continue to bless you and your organization materially and spiritually. Amen. I pray that I will continue to do the will of God till the end. In Jesus' name, amen. Best regards to you and all the body of Christ yonder. Pastor T.F., Plummer, Forest Hills, California.
Praise the Lord. This man is from Nigeria, and people that think that people in Africa are not knowledgeable of the gospel, you've got a great lesson to learn, because when I was in prison for the gospel's sake, there was a whole plane load of people from Africa that came into the prison, and I heard them discussing Bible, and they are far more knowledgeable of the scriptures than I would say the tremendous majority of the people in the United States. They know the Bible, and they all sounded like a bunch of preachers, every single one of them. What they were in prison for, I have no idea. But I was in prison for false charges, falsely put in prison, just like Jesus and the Apostle Paul and many others down through history. Those that were put in the Colosseum there in Rome for the gospel's sake, they were thrown to the lions as though they had done some evil crime. And they were just Christians. They were just preaching the gospel. But this infuriates Satan, and it infuriates me that Satan is infuriated at God. And it infuriates me to know that the people of the United States of America and the rest of the world, that the majority of them are infuriated at God. And they hate the gospel, and they have been deceived. The Bible says the whole world is deceived. World meaning the world system, not the earth, but the world. There's a difference between the world and the earth. The earth is the Lord. The world system it belongs to the devil, and it's infuriating to me for them to think that they own the earth and the heavens. What a surprise for them when they stand before the Lord. How frightened they shall be. All right, we're in chapter 10 now, 2 Samuel. So we've got 19 verses here, so let's get started.
David defeating the Ammonites. King James Version, verse 1. And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun his son reigned in his stead. Verse 2. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanun the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. Verse 3. And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun, their lord, Thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city, and to spy it out, and to overthrow it? Verse 4. Wherefore Hanun took David's servants, and shaved off the one half of their beards, and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away.
Well, that would be awful to be having your pants cut right to the midst of your buttocks. Amen?
Amen.
And then your beard to be cut in half. That is a great shame. You know, they couldn't come back to town until they got some new pair of pants and let their beards grow out. This was what the Middle Easterners think is a major insult. Okay, then what? In other words, they're just saying, we don't go for what you're trying to do here, David. Here's what we think about you and your men. Okay, then what?
Verse 5. When they told it unto David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, Tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown, and then return.
Yeah, and then I'm sure he gave them all new pairs of pants. Okay, then what else?
Verse 6. And when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth-Rehoboth and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and of King Maacah, 1,000 men, and of Ishtob, 12,000 men. Translation, verse 1 through 6. David defeating the Ammonites. Sometime after this, King Nahash of the Ammonites died, and his son Hanun became the king. Verse 2. David said, quote, I'm going to show complete loyalty to Ammon, because his father Nahash was always completely loyal to me. Unquote. So David sent ambassadors to express sympathy to Hanun about his father's death. But when David's ambassadors arrived in the land of Ammon, verse 3, Hanun's advisors said to their master, quote, Do you really think these men are coming here to honor your father? No! David has sent them to spy out the city, so that they can come in and conquer it! Unquote. Verse 4, So Hanun seized David's ambassadors and shaved off half of each man's beard, cut off their robes at the buttocks, and sent them back to David in shame. Verse 5. When David heard what had happened, he sent messengers to tell the men to stay at Jericho until their beards grew out, for they were very embarrassed by their appearance. Verse 6. Now the people of Ammon realized how seriously they had angered David, so they hired 20,000 Aramean mercenaries from the lands of Beth-Rehob and Zobah, 1,000 from the king of Maacah, and 12,000 from the land of Tob. King James Version, verse 7. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. Verse 8. And the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the entering in of the gate, and the Syrians of Zobah and of Rehob and Ishtob and Maacah were by themselves in the field. Verse 9. When Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him before and behind, he chose of all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. Verse 10. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. Translation, verse 7 through 10. When David heard about this, he sent Joab and the entire Israelite army to fight them. Verse 8. The Ammonite troops drew up their battle lines at the entrance of the city gates, while the Arameans from Zobah and Rehob and the men of from Tob and Maacah positioned themselves to fight in the open field. Verse 9. When Joab saw that he would have to fight on two fronts, he chose the best troops in his army. He placed them under his personal command and led them out to fight the Arameans in the fields. Verse 10. He left the rest of the army under the command of his brother Abishai, who was to attack the Ammonites. King James Version, verse 11. And he said, If the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Verse 12. Be of good courage, and let us flay the men for our people, and for the cities of our God. And the Lord do that which seemeth him good. Verse 13. And Joab drew nigh, and the people that were with him, unto the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. Verse 14. And when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled, then fled they also before Abishai, and entered into the city. So Joab returned from the children of Ammon, and came to Jerusalem. Verse 15. And when the Syrians saw that they were smitten before Israel, they gathered themselves together. Verse 16. And Hadarezer sent and brought out the Syrians that were beyond the river, and they came to Helam, and Shobach, the captain of the host of Hadarezer, went before them. Verse 17. And when it was told David, he gathered all Israel together, and passed over Jordan, and came to Helam. And the Syrians set themselves in array against David, and fought with him. Verse 18. And the Syrians fled before Israel, and David slew the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians, and 40,000 horsemen, and smote Shobach, the captain of their host, who died there. Verse 19. And when all the kings that were servants to Hadarezer saw that they were smitten before Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians feared to help the children of Ammon any more. Translation, verse 11 through 19. Quote, If the Arameans are too strong for me, then come over and help me, unquote, Joab told his brother. Quote, And if the Ammonites are too strong for you, I will come and help you. Verse 12. Be courageous! Exclamation mark. Let us fight bravely to save our people in the cities of our God. May the Lord's will be done. Unquote. Verse 13. When Joab and his troops attacked, the Arameans began to run away. Verse 14. And when the Ammonites saw the Arameans running, they ran from Abishai and retreated into the city. After the battle was over, Joab returned to Jerusalem. Verse 15. The Arameans now realized that they were no match for Israel. So when they regrouped, verse 16, they were joined by additional Aramean troops summoned by Hadadezer from the other side of the Euphrates River. These troops arrived at Helam under the command of Shobach, the commander of all Hadadezer's forces. Verse 17. When David heard what was happening, he mobilized all Israel across the Jordan River and led the army to Elam. The Arameans positioned themselves here in battle formation and then attacked David. Verse 18. But again the Arameans fled from the Israelites. This time David's forces killed 700 charioteers and 40,000 horsemen, including Shobach, the commander of their army. Verse 19. When Hadadezer and his Aramean allies realized they had been defeated by Israel, they surrendered to them and became their subjects. After that, the Arameans were afraid to help the Ammonites.
All right, that was chapter 10, 2 Samuel, and the translation. King James in translation also. 19 verses, and now we have some commentary.
10 verse 1 through chapter 22 verse 51. The events of chapters 10 through 22 took place between the 20th and 30th years of David's 40-year reign. 10 verse 1. Ammon, the modern nation of Jordan. The Ammonites were descendants of Lot. Though related, great hostility had grown between them and Israel.
So they are the Jordanians, today's Jordanians. All right, then what?
10 verse 2. Nahash was the same king Saul had defeated at Jabesh-Gilead, 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. The kindness he showed to David is not clear. Probably he had given him some assistance during David's flight from Saul. Hanan, Mephibosheth accepted David's offer of kindness and was blessed. Hanan rejects it and is destroyed. David's servants were ambassadors sent by David as his personal emissaries. 10 verse 3. The princes of the people were the chiefs of the Ammonites. Likely they were still outraged at David's harsh treatment of their allies, the Moabites. Chapter 8 verse 2. 10 verse 4. Shaved off half of their beards. To the Hebrews and other nations, the beard was considered a man's greatest ornament, a sign of honor. To shave it was the greatest possible insult. Cut off their garments in the middle of their buttocks. These were the long, robe-like garments which covered the entire body to the ankles. The Hebrews wore no pants under them, so Hanan cut them at the most immodest and embarrassing length.
Yeah, that's worse than miniskirts.
Ten verse six. Beth Rehob was the capital of the Aramean kingdom. Zobah, you can check that out in chapter 8, verse 3. Though defeated by David, this is a further rebellious alliance with Hanan. 10 verse 7. Mighty men were the elite of David's fighting forces, for their names had accolades. See chapter 23. 10 verse 16. Beyond the river, Hadadezer had occupational forces in Mesopotamia, east of the Euphrates River. 10 verse 1 through 5. Hanan was needlessly suspicious of the motives of David's men. As a result, he treated them shamefully and brought a great deal of needless bloodshed upon his people. Hanan's suspicions led him to distrust others and neglected David's attempt to forge a protective relationship. Allowing our fears to shape our conclusions will often lead to unnecessary conflict and a disruption of possible positive relationships. Much time, effort, and energy are wasted when we respond with suspicion and fear to the friendly overtures of other people. 10 verse 11 through 12. Joab gave wise counsel to Abishai before going to battle. First, he devised a simple strategy of attack. Then he recognized God's role in the process. As we struggle with our adversaries, these principles can prove helpful. First, we need to plan our program to follow. God's word is filled with valuable insights for healthy, successful living.
Right, that's why, you know, a lot of children don't like to study history. But, you know, even if it's some foreign war that is not mentioned in the Bible and things that have happened to different other countries, it's good to know historically what happened and how people maneuvered rightly or did the wrong thing, because you never know whether God's going to put you in a leadership role on earth. And you can learn from other people's mistakes, or you can learn from other people's the right things that they have done. And so it's very important to study history, even if it's just European history our history of the world, not just biblical history. It's good to study it and to know all about it. Okay? Keep going.
Okay. We also need to recognize that no matter how good our plans are, we've got to have God's help to succeed, for without Him, we are unable to do anything of value. God wants us to have victory. Quote, may the Lord's will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, unquote.
And the way that the Lord's will is done is if you do what the Lord wants you to do. A lot of people say, well, the Lord's going to have His will done. But that won't happen unless you cooperate with Him in getting His will done. Because God has historically always used human flesh. You always have to remember that in the beginning, when the Lord created heavens and the earth and all the fullness thereof, He created man and He gave them the authority to rule the world and to subdue it and to shape it and mold it and make it. And if you are not part of His, that's His will, is that man runs this earth, and He gives us a detailed outline of how it is to be run. And if we do it the way He says, then His will be done. But if you believe the false prophets by saying, well, God's will be done, no, it won't if people don't do what He says. His will can never be done unless you do what He says. They just think that God's going to come down and be their bus boy and their make their beds and brush their teeth and do everything for them. That isn't the way it works. We have an outline of what we are supposed to do. And we, you know, the rulership that God gave man was taken away when man disobeyed God. So He gave it to Satan. So you see Satan working like crazy all over the place. He's starving people to death on television. He's aborting 400 million people, babies, every year. All the time, not every year, but God knows it could be that. And He's committing adultery, fornication, taking the Bible out of schools and out of courtrooms and everywhere. And people are not doing God's will. And therefore, say they're just letting Satan do everything. They're letting Satan run the world, the earth. And that's because people that say they're Christians are saying, well, God's will be done. Well, God will take care of it one of these days. You'll just go and see. And they grab themselves a little ginger snap and eat their Jell-O, take a pill and turn out the light and go to sleep, knowing that God's going to do everything. No, you're reprobate in your thoughts. You haven't read the Bible. That isn't the way it is. God uses humanity to do it. If you'll notice, God had Moses write the first 5 books of the Bible. And then He had Joshua take care of the 6th book. And then so on and so forth down the line until we come to the Apostle John, who wrote the last book. Plus John in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Amen?
Amen?
He used those people, and He wants to use you. God's will is not going to be done in you unless you take the initiative to make His will be done in you. Until tomorrow, we're going to be doing chapter 11 of 2 Samuel. And until then, God bless you. And this is Tony Lamo, your pastor. God bless you and praise the Lord.